Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today, and we'd like to welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, February the 28th, 2022. We welcome you today, wherever that you might be. We trust and we pray that you have gotten up today, that the Lord has awakened you, that the Lord has been with you, and that the Lord has already touched your heart and your life in a very, very special way. I wanted to bring something to your attention today. It was an article some probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, I suppose now, about the IRS. And you know, I got a lot of criticism about the people taking a vaccination and declaring it was the mark of the beast. But did you catch the article on Zero Hedge? Zero Hedge. Says the IRS announced that by the summer of 2022, the only way to log into IRS.gov will be through ID.me. The only way to log in is through ID.me. And you're going to have some kind of facial recognition, So my point is, you constantly have these people out here who are purveyors of fear. And every time they turn around and they hear something or see something, they want to take it, run with it. And what they're doing is molesting your mind. I said they are molesting your mind, and they're hurting you. They are impeding you. They are hindering your walk. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to move on quickly today. Remember what the Bible says. Don't pay any attention to these hooligans and these jacklegs. Don't listen to them. Don't pay them any attention. The Bible is clear. The mark of the beast has to do with buying and selling, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the beast or the number of his name. Here's the thing. And where do you get the mark? Where do you receive the mark? In your right hand or in your forehead? And as best I remember, most everyone that I see, the television shots, it's in the left arm. Now, I stand to be corrected. If they're putting it in the right arm, you can email me and say, hey, you were wrong. It was the right arm. But I think it's always in the upper left arm where your smallpox vaccine was initiated. Now, the word mark there in the Greek, it means a stamp, a scratch, or an etching, E-T-C-H-I-N-G, etching. So that's what the word mark means. Now, this is why they did what they did with the smallpox vaccine, because it was a type of etching. They scratched and they etched in people my age arm. But where was it? On the left arm. There was a reason for that, because they knew there would be such a public outcry. But here's what's happening. You know, when people like me are dead and gone, and a generation arises that knows nothing about the Bible, the mark of the beast, or the smallpox vaccine, or any of those kind of things, when people like me are gone, who's going to inform the masses? Who's going to inform the crowds? Who's going to tell them about this stuff? And like I said, the gentleman the other day that has a pretty large ministry, I mean, he said, get out of the book of Revelation. Stay away from it. Don't worry about the mark of the beast. And he's prophesying all the time. See, that's wrong. You need to understand the Bible. And God gives us a whole book 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, and people will tell you after chapter 3, the church is no longer here. So there's 19 chapters, 19 chapters, 20, 21, and 22. Those three chapters are non-applicable to the church. But we see God addressed the seven churches there in Asia Minor, basically Turkey. And those seven churches were within a 125-mile radius of each other. And so all the scriptures, the Bible said, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture. So you can't take 19 chapters and say that's not good for us in any capacity. No, all scripture. Yet, we continue to see the error, the erroneous, fallacious teachings in the earth. And it is very sad. It is very, very tragic. Again, we welcome you today. And I pray that whatever we say or do today will be an encouragement to you, strengthen you in some capacity. We're teaching on the harvest, the wheat and the tares, the second advent of Christ and the end of the age. But before I get back into that today, I want to play a song by Lee Williams, and it's entitled, Be All Right. And if you keep your heart and your affection set on Jesus Christ, without a doubt, everything will be all right.
It's gonna be all right. Be all right.
Somebody is gonna be lame. Oh,
Yes. Are you going to make it to the city? What city? New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God as a bride adorned for her husband. Come hither, he said to John. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Clearly, New Jerusalem is the bride, not the church. You read Matthew 22, you see everything there but a bride. You read Matthew 25, you see everything there, bridegroom, supper, virgins. You see no bride. Because New Jerusalem, John said, is the bride, the Lamb's wife. He showed it to him. He showed it to him. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Gune, G-U-N-E, that's the Greek for the word there, bride. And it gets very deep. And when it says there in Revelation 19, 6, 7, and 8, she hath made herself ready. Everybody says, well, most teach that's the church. That's actually Israel. The church is already ready. I said the church is already ready because the church is the body of Christ. So when he says there in Revelation 19:7, and his wife hath made herself ready. Israel got prepared and right with God. Not all of them, but many of them during the Great Tribulation. But see, the church is right, R-I-G-H-T, right now, because it is washed in the blood of the Lamb. We want to go back today. We want to pick up again in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I find it a profundity. And that the enemy sows in the same identical field as our Lord does. Why would Satan seek to sow wicked seed? That's sinners, that is pagans, heathens, and even backsliders, people who are away from God. He sows that in the same field. And it's for the purpose of creating chaos and havoc in the church, the body of Christ. Let me say today emphatically, not everyone that says, I'm a Christian, is a Christian. There are so many people today that want to confess they are a Christian, but in their works, in their deeds, in their lifestyle, there is truly no fruit of his Spirit. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, Paul gives us a litany of the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. Now, that fruit can only be manifest because you are attached, you are joined to Christ's body. John 15, 5, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much. You bring forth the same fruit of Christ because you are attached to him. The fruit is the same. It's edible. It is spiritual. And it blesses those around. Now, we're told in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law / Mosaic law, law of sin and of death. There's nothing against the fruit of the Spirit, but there is a plethora that is against the fruit or the works of the flesh. Now, these are they, Paul said. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh which are manifest are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I told you also in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's look at this for just a moment. What I just shared there is what we would deem tares. The fruit of the Spirit, the wheat, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's nothing binding against the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. And here's my point. You cannot bear the Spirit or the fruit of temperance. Let's just take the one, temperance. Do you think you can have temperance in the Holy Ghost and then manifest adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, wrath, strife, seditions, murders, drunkenness? The two cannot come from the same vessel. We are all clay jars, earthen vessels. Some of us, sadly, are cracked pots. I'll put myself in that category. I'm a cracked pot. But praise God, I've been sealed. Ephesians 1:13, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God sealed me. He sealed the crack in my pot, my clay jar, my earthen vessel. He sealed that with the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 2:1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. The word slip there in the Greek means to leak out. Now that I am sealed by the Spirit of God, and if I don't do anything to tamper with that seal, everything concerning the fruit of the Spirit will stay in me. It won't leak out. I was a cracked pot before God saved me, redeemed me. Then he sealed me with his Holy Spirit. Now, you can break that seal. I can break that seal. You might say, in essence, Samson was sealed by the Spirit of God as long as he kept his vow. Once he broke his vow, he not only became a cracked pot, but what was in him leaked out. You might say the Holy Ghost leaked out of him. It ran out of him. He lost what he had. And because he lost what he had, because he was sealed, then he became unsealed because he broke the seal. And he broke the seal when he broke his vow and told Delilah all of his heart. And the Bible said, and that's such a sad, sad, tragic statement. He wist not that God had left him. Not only has God left a lot of people, God has left many, many denominations, and they don't even know it. They're going through the same, same old, same old, same old every week, every day, whatever the case. They don't know God's gone. God's taken flight. Why? They broke the seal of the Holy Ghost. Let me quote it again. Ephesians 1:13, and whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's why we get the Holy Ghost when we get saved. I'm not talking baptism. I'm talking the Spirit of God. Romans 8:9, if any man hath not the Spirit of God, he has none of his. That's why Jesus in John 7:38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. You can't get something until it's given. You can't receive something until it's given. They couldn't receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. They were able to receive the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, through salvation, through redemption, but not baptized. I tell the Baptist, if you're going to be a Baptist, be a good one. John did preach water baptism, but he also preached baptism in the Holy Ghost with fire, did he not? Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. A totally different baptism. Totally different. We know it was not only different, according to the words of John the Baptist, there in Matthew 3, 11, 12. We know it was different, according to Acts chapter 19, when Paul encountered a group of Ephesians. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, they were believers. You know, when people tell me, you got to be water baptized to be saved, that is so erroneous. That is so much error in that teaching. It's just wrong. They were, Paul recognized them as believers. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. The jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Let me bring this out today too. This is the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost. This is the dynamic power of the Spirit of God in a jail cell. Paul was not preaching. Paul was singing, and Paul was praying, and so was Silas. And the Holy Ghost, see, the presence of God shook that place. Paul wasn't preaching heaven or hell. Paul wasn't preaching against fornication. He was merely worshiping God. But you see how the divine Holy Ghost presence of God was so engulfed that place. The Spirit of God had so engulfed that jail. The conviction was so overwhelming. The conviction was so dynamic. The conviction was so powerful. The jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul was not telling the man, you must be born again. You must be saved. No, Paul and Silas were merely worshiping. This is why you can know God has left the churches. Because churches today don't see people getting saved. Now, I'm believing God to turn that around. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how God's going to do it. I know what I'm doing as an individual, seeking God that it might happen, praying, fasting, proclaiming his word, but I don't know how God will do it. You see, what happened on the day of Pentecost was totally unexpected. They just thought Pentecost was going to be just another Pentecost from the days of Moses. See, it would be somewhere around the month of June, 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days or thereabouts after Passover. And you've heard me teach this. It's either in March or April on the Gregorian calendar. Then you add 50 days to that. You're May, June, somewhere. We just don't know it because it cycles different every lunar cycle. But getting back to my point, this Pentecostal feast, this Pentecostal day was different. Why? Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, meaning every other Pentecostal feast was not the fullness. You see, the word there is fully. Now let's go back to Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born under the law, to receive them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. That's the Kairos, something has to happen. Going back now to Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost was fully, the fullness of it. You see, Passover that year, Jesus fulfilled it in its entirety. Jesus was the personification of all that Passover meant. He was the bread, hallelujah. His blood was shed to be put on the doorpost and door lintels of all men's hearts to be saved. It was the fulfillment of all of this. So Peter tells us, when the day of Pentecost was fully, or the fullness of it had come. I don't know how God, as I said, is going to bring the revival that I anticipate, the revival that I desire, the spiritual awakening that I long for, but I know God is going to do it. My prayer, my petition is, Lord, let me be a part of it. Let me experience it. Let me be touched and let me be used by you in this great deluge that's coming. We need to be preparing because, you see, there is coming a harvest. The harvest is the end of the age or the end of the world. Now, as I said a few moments ago, Satan sows in the same field as our Lord. Satan sows the bad among the good. Unless you're a minister, you probably won't value or appreciate what I'm about to say. But see, I'm in the ministry. There are a plethora of people out there that say they too are in the ministry. But you see, their hearts are not right. They're charlatans, they are pretenders, they are mere hypocrites. Reince Priebus brought up Jimmy Swaggart's name some weeks back, talking about the hypocrisy of Biden, and he alluded to Brother Jimmy Swaggart of an incident that happened 35 years ago. And I thought, no forgiveness, no reconciliation. I don't know his status, Reince Priebus, talking about relationship with God. But the point is, he was castigating the Biden administration relative to their hypocrisy. And I thought about how people don't forgive, and they certainly do not forget. So he brought this up. I'm saying that to say this. Being in the ministry, sometimes people will take a swipe at me. You're just like the rest of them. We see, that's why we never ask for money. Because nobody's going to say, you're just like the rest of them in that avenue. I know I'm not like the rest of them because I know my heart. You may not know my heart. You may stand off at a far distance and just observe. Many people do. Understandably. Is he like the rest of them? Is he a charlatan? Is he a crook? The way I try to maintain my integrity is by never asking for money. So nobody can say, yeah, see there, he's shaking you down. He's hustling you for money. We thank God for every giver. That's why you get a little thank you note from us. You know, it costs me now pushing a dollar to send a thank you letter. Postage is nearly 60 cents for a stamp, the letter, the envelope, the ink, and the time. So it costs. But we always want to be thankful and not be like others who are unthankful. Sister Susie Watkins wrote me a letter some years ago, and she said, "You're the only guy that ever sends a thank you note. They beg for your money, but they don't respond when you send it. They just send you another letter saying, send us some more money." That's just not right. That's a spirit of unthankfulness, in my opinion, and I'm sure some of you are thinking that's your opinion, and that is true. But I see it as unthankfulness. This is not about money. This is about ministry and reaching the lost. And because I live in the world of ministry, I can become sullied and soiled just because I'm in the same avenue, the same vein. But I seek constantly, keep my hands clean and my heart pure, Lord. Don't let me ever bring any shame, reproach, dishonor, disgrace to you and the efficacious work that you wrought on the cross. I'm humbled by God's goodness and how much he trusts me to always do the right thing. Sadly, not everyone can be trusted to do the right thing. You see, the devil's method is to imitate and to counterfeit. You cannot imitate something. You cannot counterfeit anything until you have an original. An original. And so the devil has something to pattern after the genuine, the bona fide, the original. He now can imitate, or try to counterfeit that which he has seen. And you have people in ministry that do the same identical thing. And Paul the Apostle warned us of these so-called ministers. They are not God's ministers. They are Satan's ministers. It is sad. It is tragic. It is sorrowful. But it is the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14, 15 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, if they don't make it right, you can see, I can see their works. If they don't make it right, their destiny is eternally lost without God. When you read about the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, beginning at verse 10 down to verse 15, John said, and I saw, and the books were opened, and the book of life. What are the books? The books there, my friend, are record books. They are the records of people's works who did not follow Jesus. Now, God has a record of even the redeemed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, for everyone must receive the things he hath done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, we're not judged for sin at the bema seat. We're judged for our righteous works, because there is no sin if you make it to the bema seat. But for those in Revelation chapter 20 who do not make it to the bema seat, that's where righteousness is judged. These men, these women that are not in the kingdom will end up at the great white throne judgment. And he says there in Revelation 20 and verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." The books were opened. That is record books. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life." We don't know how many books are there. Listen to me closely. "And the books," it is plural. The books were opened. It could be three books. It could be five books. It could be 5,000 books. We don't know. But the word there is books, plural. And another book was opened, which is what? The book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. So they're judged from what's recorded in those books. Not the book of life, but in the record books, according to their what? According to their works. Going back to Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. Which one will it be in your life? Hope you're enjoying this teaching today, because I feel like it's instrumental in helping you to grasp more of God and His Word and have a greater, thorough understanding of it. When the separation comes, the wheat is gathered into the garner, but the tares are going to be bundled, bound, and burned. You don't want to be a tare. Getting back to Satan and his ministers. 2 Corinthians 11, 14-15, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers. I want to emphasize, Satan has his ministers. Just like God has his anointed ministers, Satan has his satanically anointed ministers. If you know the Word of God, and you have the genuine, bona fide Spirit of God living in your heart, you can discern the difference. I said you can discern the difference. I could sit here today and I could rattle off names, which I will not, but I could. And some of you, not only do you know them, you buy their material, you watch their DVDs, you read their books, and it's nothing but hyperbole. It's all about making money. But see, Paul warned us. Satan is going to have his ministers. They're his. He has selected them. Now, let me take this another step further. They may have started out in Christ, but they end up being a Judas in the end. You read there in John 13:27, after Jesus dipped the bread in the sop and he handed it to him, the Bible said, then Satan entered into him. Now, Satan is an angel. So Satan cannot enter somebody's body. When you hear these hooligans tell you the Antichrist is the body, the embodiment, the personification of Satan, that is error. I think it was last week. I try my best to be as accurate with the scriptures to prove to you that the Antichrist is not the embodiment of Satan, that Satan does not possess this man, whoever he might be. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Now, Paul says the Antichrist is the coming, whose coming is after the working of Satan. Judas is described as the son of perdition. The Antichrist is described in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 as the son of perdition. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Jesus called Judas the son of perdition in John chapter 17. Judas was not the embodiment or the personification of Satan. But when it says Satan entered into him, Judas ultimately gave himself over to that abomination, that wicked, vile sin of betraying Messiah. And whoever this Antichrist man is going to virtually do the same thing. He's going to surrender himself. And then that spirit of Satan. See, I believe that spirit inhibited Adolf Hitler. I mean, what a murderous, barbarous entity was Hitler. And that spirit engulfed the Nazis. And they're so heinous and just killing, 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 all because of what? Ethnicity. And while I'm on the point, some of you people out there who are so anti-Semitic, you hate Jews. They're just like you and me. How can you say you love God, whom you have not seen, and hate your brother, whom you have seen? John asked that question. How do you do that? I could call names today. You know who I'm talking about. You know how anti-Semitic they are, how they hate Jews. They accuse Jews of everything. What an idiot. What an idiot. It's the devil, folks. Now, does the devil use people? Absolutely. But my point is, this is a spiritual warfare. What do you think Paul meant when he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood? Come on, folks. Turn that jackleg off that's so anti-Semitic. Turn him off. Because this is not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. It is spiritual. And yes, the devil used Judas Iscariot. He used Hitler. So we got a Gentile, we got a Jew. Because it's the satanic influence. Satanic influence. So terribly, so horrendous, Satan is going to have his ministers. Don't you think some of these people are not of their father, the devil? Jesus said of the Pharisees, and let me make this clear, they were not the promised seed, they were the seed of Ishmael, but biologically, Abraham did father them, but they were not the promised seed. There's a difference. Paul said, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, I can't overly emphasize his ministers. Satan has his ministers. What do his ministers do? They sow tares among the wheat. Read the book of Jude. You see, these people are co-mingling with us. They're co-mingling with us. Now, through the years, I've tried to separate myself and get away from some of this nefarious stuff. I don't want to be contaminated. You hang around stink, and stink will get on you. I live out here in the country. And there's dead skunks on the road all the time, skunk after skunk after skunk. And friend, skunks stink. I find it amazing how they are dead. And that stink, that odor, that oil that their body produces they're dead. But that bag of oil to make that stinking smell is still in them. And they're dead. But yet you instead of smelling the carcass, you smell the stink of the skunk. We live in a world that is so contaminated, so sullied, so soiled. I mean, you know, it's just like some weeks ago. I do appreciate Joe Manchin and what he said. You're gonna change one rule in the Senate. You're going to break one rule in the Senate to make another rule. So what's the purpose of having rules? What's the purpose of structure? What's the purpose of having guidelines? But this is where we live. We live in a world that calls good evil and evil good. Light, dark, dark, light. Sweet for bitter, bitter for sweet. This is the world we are now living in. So if you don't keep yourself immersed in the Word of God and led by the Spirit of God, when you see all of this convoluted, twisted stuff, you'll say, I don't know what to believe. Now, why is it becoming more convoluted? It's for the purpose of deception. Why didn't the enemy sow, let's just use this as a hypothetical, why didn't the enemy sow green beans among the wheat? Because there'd be no deception. You'd look at the wheat and say, well, that's gold and the green beans are green. Hey, that's totally different. Totally different. But that's not how Satan operates. He operates in chicanery, trickery. That's why Paul said he's transformed as an angel of light. Yes, he was a created angel. He was a created being. I shared with you last week. God said, thy wisdom hath corrupted thee. Thy beauty. You have exalted yourself. And he said he was going to exalt himself above God, above God's throne. So Satan comes in with his ministers, and his ministers are transformed as what? Ministers of righteousness. They seem and appear to be righteous ministers, but at the close of the day, they are not. I turned 67 years of age last week. Thank you for the birthday cards and the generous gifts to take me and my wife out to dinner. Thank you so much. As a general rule, we put it all in the ministry. But I appreciate that. But there are those in our midst, folks. They appear to be ministers of righteousness, but they're not. When you hear, this is why it's so important. This is why it is demanded of me to preach the Bible. And the more Bible I preach and the more Bible that gets into your spirit, into your mind, into your conscience, your subconscious, the quicker you will see the error. When you see it, when you hear it, you'll say, that's just not right. I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. The sharpest tool in the shed is the way it is said. But I have spent time in the Word, and I see these things. I see these things. You need to see these things. Because if it is possible, the very elect would be deceived. Now, there are things, admittedly to me, that are borderline. Boy, they look so much like it's the real deal. But why in my heart, why in my spirit do I still have a question mark about them or what they're saying? Why do I have that? Because that's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God saying it's not right. It's not right. I was thinking yesterday about Abraham there in Genesis 18:25 when he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham had such a relationship with Elohim, he said, I know he can do nothing but what is right. You know, we need to live such dedicated, consecrated lives that people would look at us and say, yes, I know he's human. I know he's got his weaknesses, but I believe he will try to do what is right. You know, I want to have this testimony that at least people look at me in a positive light and not in a negative light. Now there are those out there, you know them, I know them, you just look at them in a negative light because you know that's what they are. That's what they are. You know, God told me he wanted me to have this $10 million jet, but he wants you to buy it for me. Okay, sure. Why didn't God tell me that? I got a $5 offering the other day from a 82-year-old lady. Now, won't even buy me 10 stamps. And I'm not being critical here. I want you to understand my what I'm saying here, what I'm trying to convey. That won't buy but 8 stamps. But let me tell you, when I read the letter and I looked at the gift, I said, don't let me ever misuse any of this. Never. Never. See, I'm going to stand before God too. I think ministers have forgotten they're going to stand before God and give an account. I think they have. You know, when I quoted earlier 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, do you understand the gravity of what Paul is saying? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is the Bema seat. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now listen to the next verse, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I seek to persuade you today of the severity and the reality of standing before God one day and giving an account. If you just go to do wrong, you don't even do it, but you go to do it, the Holy Ghost should smite your heart and check you and say, don't even bother to go there. You know it's not right. Don't even do it. Don't you tell that lie. Yeah, but I got myself in a mess and I need to get out of it. Then you become a liar. Revelation 21:8, all liars shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All liars are going to go into the lake of fire. All liars, Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. This is why I don't say this to be judgmental, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to wonder how many politicians are going to heaven. They just lie all the time. I'm not judging them to heaven or hell. I look at what the Bible says. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And I watch them and I listen to them and I say, well, if you live like that, this is where the Bible says you're going. I'm not saying you're going there, but the Bible says you're going there. And I know, I've been around people. I've heard them. I knew they were lying. I knew they were lying because they were confronted with something and they didn't want to admit to it. So they lied about it, or they tried to mislead or misrepresent the truth to the person asking the question. I had a guy, he said, well, I don't consider everything a lie when it's not the truth. I said, well, what is it? He said, lawyering up. He's just lawyering up. And I thought, listen, this is the problem with the world today. It's either the truth or it's a lie. You could say he's lawyering up, you know, making some kind of other statement, whatever the case might be. Listen, folks, it's right or it's wrong. You see, that's what's happened. This whole area has become gray. How did it get this way? The devil came in and sowed tares among the wheat, and you can't tell the difference till the harvest. I'll get on the harvest tomorrow. I'm trying to awaken you. I'm trying to sound the alarm. But while the wheat and the tares are growing together, they are indistinguishable. They are so indistinguishable, when the disciples wanted to go pull them up, he said, no, you'll pull up good wheat when you're trying to pull up the tares. And I'll explain why he said that. I'll get into all of this. Just be patient with me in these teachings. I'm trying to, Jabez asked Jehovah, he said, enlarge my coast. I'm trying to enlarge your knowledge. I'm trying to enlarge the coast of your mind, that it might grow, that it might develop, that you can have so much Bible in you, have so much of the Holy Ghost in you, that when you see or when you hear, the question mark goes up. And friend, after having come back to the Lord now nearly 44 years, I don't always need to know the dirt. All I need is to have that question mark. Why do you think 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit? What is he saying there? Question it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Do you get that? The word try there in the Greek means tested. How do I test it? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. That's how you test the validity and the veracity, the truthfulness, the authenticity. That's how you measure it. You're not an instrument. I'm not an instrument. But God's Word is the benchmark. The Holy Ghost is the benchmark. That's how you find out. And see, when I measure things that I hear by the Word of God, which I preach, I say, whoa, 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 whoa. That is not coming up to what the Word of God says, so it's wrong. It's like a carpenter says, "Oh, that's a foot." And you come to find out it's 11 inches and 15 sixteenths. You're 1/16 short. See, this has been the method from the devil from the beginning. It's just a little off. It's not off a lot. You know, in carpentry, you'd say, well, caulk will take care of that. We're not talking about caulk. We're talking about truth. And truth is always the same. Did you know that? I said the truth is always the same. The truth never changes. The truth never oscillates. The truth never vacillates. That's why God claims he's the truth. The same yesterday, today, and forever. See, each society gets more corrupt, more corrupt, more corrupt, and they start changing the truth. It's unbelievable what is happening regarding the truth today. I've never seen so much hypocrisy. I've never seen so much lying, so much dishonesty, flagrant dishonesty, flagrant lies, just flat out flagrant. That's not the kind of church our Lord is coming after. One that's washed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God bless you. Have a great day. I want to pick this back up tomorrow. I know I've kind of slowed down here, but I'm trying to get you to understand the danger that the tare is to the wheat and how God said, let them grow together and I'll separate it in the harvest. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.